You Forever by Tuesday Love Sang Grandpa, read to you by Blue Friend. Lesson 11. The subject of astral traveling is, of course, of vital importance, and for that reason it might be advantageous to devote this lesson to more notes about that quite fascinating pastime. We suggest that you carefully read this lesson, go through it at least as meticulously as you would have gone through the other lessons, and then decide upon an evening a few days ahead as the evening of your experiment. Prepare yourself by thinking that upon the chosen evening you are going out of the body and remain fully conscious, fully aware of all that is happening. As you know, there is a very great deal in preparing, in deciding in advance what one is going to do. The ancients of old used incantations. In other words, they repeated a mantra, that is, a form of prayer, which had as its objective the subjugating of the subconscious. By repeating their mantra, the conscious, which is only one-tenth of us, was able to send an imperative order to the subconscious. You could have a mantra such as this: on such and such a day, I am going to travel in the astral world, and I am going to remain fully aware of all that which I do, and be fully aware of all that which I see. I shall remember all this and recall it fully when I am again in my body. I shall do this without fail. You should repeat this mantra in groups of three. That is, you should say it, then having said it, you should repeat it, and then having repeated it, affirm it one more time. The mechanics of it is something like this. One states a thing. That is not enough to alert the subconscious, because one is always stating things, and we are sure that the subconscious thinks that the conscious part of us is very talkative. Having stated our mantra once, the subconscious is not at all alerted. The second time the same words are stated, and they must be stated quite identically, the subconscious begins to take notice. At the third affirmation, the subconscious, as one might say, wonders what it's all about and is fully receptive to our mantra, and the mantra is received and stored. Supposing you say your three affirmations in the morning, then you will want to say them, when you're alone of course, at midday, and again in the afternoon, and again before you retire and go to sleep. It is as knocking in a nail. You have your nail, you start the point in the wood, but one blow is not enough. You have to keep administering blows until the nail is in the wood to the depths desired. In much the same way, the affirmations administer blows which drive the desired statement into the awareness of the subconscious. This is not a new device by any means. It is as old as humanity itself. For the old, old people of days long ago knew a lot about mantras and affirmations. It is only we in the modern age who have forgotten, or perhaps have become cynical about the whole affair. For that reason, we impress upon you the urge that you must state your affirmations to yourself, and not let anyone else know about them. For if other, skeptical people know about them, they will laugh at you and perhaps throw doubt in your mind. It is people laughing and throwing doubt which has stopped adults from seeing nature spirits and being able to converse telepathically with animals. Remember that. You will have decided upon the evening of a suitable day, and on the day in question, when it arrives, you must make every effort to remain tranquil, to remain at peace with yourself and with everyone else. This is of vital importance. There must be no conflict within you which would cause you to become excited. For example, suppose you've had a heated argument with someone that day, then you'll be thinking of what you would have said if you'd had more time to think. You will think of things said to you, and your whole attention will not be focused upon traveling in the astral. If you are disturbed or distressed during the proposed day, postpone your astral traveling consciousness until another, more peaceful day. But, assuming that everything is tranquil and that all that day you've been thinking of astral traveling with pleasurable anticipation, just as you would pleasurably anticipate a journey to some loved one who lived so distant from you that it would be an event indeed to so travel, then go to your bedroom and dress slowly, keeping quite calm and breathing steadily. When you are ready, get into your bed. Make sure that your night attire is quite comfortable. That is, it shouldn't be tight around the neck or tight around your waist. For if you have distractions such as a tight neck band or a waistband, this irritates the physical body and may cause a jerk at a crucial moment. See that your bedroom is of a temperature most convenient to you, that is, neither too hot nor too cold. If you have little clothing on the bed, so much the better, because you don't want to be oppressed by an excessive weight of material above you. Turn out the bedroom light, and you will, of course, have made sure that your curtains are drawn closed so that no vagrant rays of light can flicker into your eyes at the wrong moment. With all this satisfactorily accomplished, lie down comfortably. Settle yourself. Let yourself go limp. Let yourself become completely and utterly relaxed. Do not fall asleep if you can help it, although if you have repeated your mantra successfully, sleep will not matter because you will still remember. We advise you to stay awake if you can, because it really is interesting, this first trip out of the body. Lie in comfortably, preferably on your back. Imagine that you are forcing another body out of yourself. Imagine that the ghostly form of the astral is being pushed out. You can feel it rising up, something like a cork rising up through water. You can feel it withdrawing from your flesh body molecules. There is a very slight tingling. Then will come a moment when the tingling almost ceases. Be careful here, because the next motion will be a twitch unless you are careful. And if you do twitch violently, your astral body will come back with a thud into the physical. Most people, in fact we might almost say everyone, has had the experience of apparently falling just at the point of sleep. Learned pundits have stated that this is a relic of the days when humans were monkeys. Actually, the sensation of falling is caused by a twitch which causes the newly floating astral body to fall back into the physical body. Often it will jerk one into complete awakeness, but whatever it is, there is usually a violent twitch or jerk, and back comes the astral body without having gotten more than a few inches out of the physical. If you are aware that there is a possibility of a twitch, then you will not twitch. So let yourself become aware of difficulties, then you can overcome them. After this slight tingling stops, make no movement at all, and there will be a sudden coolness, a feeling as if something has left you. You may have an impression that there is something just above you, as if, to put it crudely, someone was dropping a pillow on you. Do not be disturbed, and if you are not disturbed, the next thing that you will know is that you are looking at yourself from perhaps the end of the bed, or even from the ceiling, looking down. Examine yourself with as much composure as you can manage on this first occasion, because you will never see yourself so plainly as you do on this first excursion. You will look at yourself, and no doubt you will exclaim with astonishment when you find that you are nothing like what you expected. We know that you look in mirrors, but a person does not see a true reflection in even the best mirror. Lefts and rights are reversed, for example, and there are other distortions. There is nothing like coming face to face with yourself. Having examined yourself, then you should practice moving about the room. Look in a closet or a chest of drawers. Observe how easily you can go anywhere. Examine the ceiling. Examine those places where you cannot normally reach. No doubt you will find much dust in the inaccessible places, and that will give you another useful experiment. Try to leave fingerprints in the dust. You find you cannot. Your fingers and your hand and your arm as well sink through the wall without any sensation whatsoever. When you are satisfied that you can move about at will, look between your astral and your physical. Do you see how your silver cord is sparkling? If you have ever visited an old blacksmith's shop, you will be reminded of the way in which the red-hot metal sparkled as it was hit by the blacksmith's hammer. But in this case, instead of sparkling cherry red, the sparklings will be blue or even yellow. Move away from your physical body and you find that the silver cord stretches without any effort, without any diminution of diameter. Look again at your physical body and then go wherever you had planned. Think of the person or of the place and make no effort whatsoever. Just think of the person and the place. Up you will rise through the ceiling. You will see your home and your street beneath. Then, if it is your first conscious trip, you will proceed fairly slowly to your destination. You will be going slowly enough to recognize the terrain beneath you. When you are used to astral traveling consciously, you will go with the speed of thought, and when you can do that, there is no limit whatsoever to wherever you go. When you are practiced in astral traveling, you can go anywhere at all, not merely anywhere on this earth. The astral body does not breathe air, and so you can go into space. You can go to other worlds. Many people do. Unfortunately, through present-day conditions, they do not remember where they go. You, with practice, can be different. If you find it difficult to concentrate upon the person whom you propose to visit, it is suggested that you have a photograph of that person. Not a framed photograph, because if you have a framed photograph in bed, you may roll over and break the glass, thus causing cuts. Have an ordinary, unframed photograph and hold it in your hands. Before turning out the light, take a long, long look at the photograph. Then extinguish the light and try to retain a visual impression of the person whose features are in that photograph. That may make it easier for you. Some people cannot do astral traveling if they are comfortable, if they are well fed or warm. Some people can only go astral traveling consciously when they are uncomfortable, when they are cold or hungry, and it is indeed a fact, though an astonishing one, that certain people deliberately eat something that disagrees with them so that they can get indigestion. Then they can do astral traveling without any particular difficulty. We suppose the reason for that is that the astral body gets heartily sick of the discomfort of the physical body. In Tibet and India, there are hermits who are walled up, who never see the light of day. These hermits are fed perhaps once every 3 days, and fed just enough in order that life may be sustained, in order that the feebly flickering flame of life may not be extinguished. These men are able to do astral traveling all the time, and they travel in astral form to anywhere where there is anything to be learned. They travel so that they may converse with those who are telepathic. They travel that they may perhaps influence things for good. It is possible that in your own astral travels you will come across such men as these, and if you do, you will indeed be blessed, for they will stop and give you advice and tell you how you may progress further. Read and reread this lesson. We repeat again that only practice and faith are necessary in order that you too may travel to the astral and be freed for a time from the troubles of this world. End of lesson 11.